We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us on the line from Clearwater, covers the Phillies for Inquirer, Inquirer.com. A one, Matt Breen. Morning, Matt.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I look forward to spending the summer with you at the ballpark, but I got to ask you first. You lived through the Gabe Kapler experience and are now getting just a taste of Joe Girardi. I realize we only have 10 minutes together, but can you inform the Phillies fans the biggest differences that you've noticed between the two thus far?
Yeah, I was talking to a Phillies player the other day and just you know, checking in, how you doing, how's your offseason? And this guy brought up how Joe Girardi – just, and the word he uses, how the professionalism that Joe Girardi brings to the clubhouse. And he said when Joe Girardi walks in this clubhouse, he's the manager. And it's clear, you know, that he's the manager. And I was like, you know what? I think that's how I kind of came into this too. So it's funny that we talk all winter about that the Phillies are, that they hired a baseball manager. And then the first player I'm talking to, just, you know, shooting the breeze with them. And that's how they're seeing it too. And we're going to find out. Today's the first full workout. Joe Girardi will address the team for the first time as a full squad, but I think they just have some normalcy back to the clubhouse right now.
Yeah, and we've been spending a lot of time this morning talking about professionalism and really comparing Bryce Harper to Joel Embiid, two superstars in this town. Bryce officially reported yesterday, spoke with you guys immediately yesterday morning. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, I think just like he did last year, he says the right thing at all times. But a main takeaway really is a lot of people look to him to be a leader for this team. And maybe you see that in the dugout when you're watching the games or you see it with the way he plays. But things that people don't see is in spring training, these players have a ton of commitments in the first few weeks of spring training to tape a lot of the FanaVision videos or the videos for NBC Sports for the telecast and other just things that they have to get out of the way that are for the whole season. And it's a pain because these players are also here to prepare for the season. You know, not every player is willing to do it. And it's kind of like a headache for the first 2 weeks for these guys to get it done. Bryce Harper comes into camp Sunday. We get there at 8:15. He's in his full uniform. He had already done his commercials. He had already done his FanaVision videos, all these things that are just like, that the players don't want to do. He came out and knocked them all out. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a leader. That's a
oh.
And he's showing the rest of the clubhouse, it's cool to do these. You can do these. You don't have to push them off. And it's just little things like that I think he really does set the tone to going back to professionalism. I mean, he's definitely a professional.
Now, looking at camp, at first full squad now, position player-wise, who are you most interested in seeing how they look? Is there any one or two players that you really want to focus in on?
Rhys Hoskins, obviously, with the way his second half went and a lot of talk about his new swing and his new stance at the plate. So excited to see that, especially once games begin, to see that in action. It's one thing to go to the backfields and watch him take BP, but I think you're going to really see it once the games begin on Friday. Scott Kingery is a guy that, you know, kind of can make this the whole defense click, just the alignment. If he can stick at third base, then you know who's your second baseman, you know who your shortstop is, and you know who your center fielder is. You know, if he can play third base and he can hit for a little bit of power, he came into camp in great shape. But really, everybody comes into camp in great shape. So I'm curious to see what he does this season, especially when the games begin.
No, is Scott Kingery, I'm very curious here. I mean, he's not a tall guy, but based on, you know, pictures and videos that we've seen from Clearwater, he looks like he can be a running back on the Eagles right now. Did he get wider?
Yeah, he could be like a scat back out of the backfield. He's a short guy. He gets big every year. He adds muscle mass every offseason, and that's what he said because because he didn't have any muscle mass. So he kind of learned from that, and that's why he comes into camp every year a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a big season for him. And I think you know, people, to me, in my mind, I always think back to how good he was at AA Reading in 2016. And I think that's the player that he can be. 2017, I'm sorry.
Matt Breen, nice enough to join us this morning. Matt, what's the latest with Andrew McCutchen?
We're going to find out today, actually. He did not talk yet, and he's going to talk today either before or after the first full squad workout. I'm really curious to know if he's going to be on track for opening day. I think it's going to be close. He is taking BP out back. He's doing a lot of running under the eyes of the training team, but he tore his ACL in June. That's a serious injury, you know, as we all know. And I don't know if he's going to be ready for opening day, and that's what 5 weeks in Florida is going to really find out.
Well, Matt, how is Lawrence McCutchen doing? I'm sure Howard wants to know.
He's another guy that could be a running back in the backfield.
Now, Matt, everyone wants to get excited for the Philly season. They have many reasons to get excited. But the moment the pitching staff enters the conversation, that excitement, is tempered. Matt, looking first at the bullpen, are you disappointed at the lack of attention Matt Klentak spent on it this offseason?
Yeah, and it comes down to not wanting to pay the competitive balance tax. And you know, they pushed up against it, so they didn't go out and get a high profile arm that we're talking about right now. Instead of, it's a bunch of non roster invitees and some prospects that were really good at AA and AAA last year, but might not quite be ready for the majors that are in camp right now. So if you have a live arm and you're in about 25 miles of Clearwater, come by Spectrum Field, you might get a tryout.
Hi, this is Al. I have one question about the catcher. Why would you even risk him wanting to test free agency when you have the best catcher in baseball and you don't have to do what they're doing? They're risking paying him $30 million if he gets away with this. Would he agree to a longer-term contract before next year?
He would, but it's not just to defend the Phillies, but it really is not only in their court. That the agent and JT Realmuto want to make a statement this week in arbitration. They want to win that arbitration case, set the new precedent for catchers, and then from there they'll negotiate a long-term contract. And I can imagine that they're going to want to set a precedent there and go after, if it's Joe Mauer's contract, for signing a catcher and really get a huge extension. So the Phillies know they cannot let this get to free agency. They gave up their best pitching prospect a year ago to land this guy. You can't let Realmuto walk. So they're kind of pushed into a corner. And I'd be really surprised if this went into the season. I think they take care of this before they leave Clearwater.
Matt, these final two questions I have for you are really long-term looks, but I'm curious your opinion on them because you're with the team 9 months out of the year. Right now, as we hit day one of full squad, who's your 1-5 in the starting rotation?
Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Jake Arrieta, Nick Pivetta, and Zach Eflin. Actually, flop Pivetta and flip Eflin and flip Pivetta. Eflin at the 4 and Pivetta at the 5. But remember, Spencer Howard's in the minor leagues. He's going to be on an innings limit. But once a need arises, it's going to be really tempting to bring that guy to the majors. And I would say by June, he's the fourth or fifth starter.
Ooh, that's great to hear. All right.
Early in the year, you don't normally need a fifth starter anyway because of the days off that are scheduled in there. So I think they're top three. If Arrieta's healthy and comes back and pitches the way he's capable of, their top three guys are pretty solid in the rotation.
Yeah, you need Arrieta really just to be like a league average starter. And that's all you need him to be at the number three spot. And that's a win. You forget that he's making $25 million. He's not going to be a $25 million pitcher. But if he's a league average ERA, then that's a win because that's really what he was 3 years ago.
Matt, I know you got to go because the clubhouse is about to open, but I got to ask you one final question. The NL East is no cakewalk. Every team got better. As you see it right now in the early goings of spring training, where do you see the Phillies in the standings after 162?
Fourth. That's where they were last year. I could be wrong. You know, they could win the NL East, but it's hard to walk into the season thinking that they're better than they were. They're better than the Braves. They're better than the Nationals, or they're better than even the Mets, who had a really good second half. So, as I see this team right now, I don't think they're a playoff team, but if they exceed the expectations the way that they failed the expectations a year ago, then they could be a playoff team. I just think there's too many ifs. There's too many things that have to go their way for them to make the playoffs.
His name is Matt Breen, covers the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer, inquirer.com. If you want links to all his stories, the latest Phillies news, of course, follow him on Twitter if you don't already, Matt_Breen. Matt, appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot, John.
All right. Maybe I shouldn't even ask that question because there's this long buildup to the season, right? And we all can't wait for game one of 162 and, you know, go through the whole grind that's 162 games and see where they finish. But when you pose that question, well, where do you see him in the NL East? And you hear fourth, you're like, oh. It's going to ruin my morning.
Well, you've ruined ours, so why not?
Back at you. You're served, John.
But seriously, Al. But that's what you're looking at. The truth of the matter.
That's why when you keep bringing up this competitive balance tax, or the luxury tax, it drives me crazy. It's like it's the dumbest thing with the money being when you have the Astros hit $5 million. You're not paying. The Phillies have never been able. It's
never.
Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If I'm a player association, I'm going, what the hell? Baseball has, in addition to the mess with the Astros, I mean, you have an off season in which
they have a salary cap. They just haven't announced it.
But it's a dumb thing because they pay so. They have an off season in which one of their cash registers in Boston let maybe the best player in baseball go away because of stupid issues with competitive balance. No fan wants to hear this competitive balance tax.
Of course they don't.
It's ridiculous. The Phillies should have Price and Betts here.
When Middleton came out last year and said, I am not going to spend money for the second wild card, mm-hmm. and then the second wild card wins the World Series, how can you feel any dumber?
Mitch,
than
every
that?
Time I think of that quote, I go, and who won the World Series
last year?
Exactly.
You don't know what can happen if you get in. Look at us in 93. We were picked to finish last behind the expansion Marlins in 93.
Right.
I love the low expectations for the coming season because players will look at that, and if they have any heart at all, they are going to go out there to prove everyone wrong. That's all our goal was. Let's prove everyone wrong.
Now, and this is where it might turn out perfectly for the Philadelphia Phillies. As of right now, you heard Matt Breen. I'm sure many others are going to have them either third or fourth in the division. You're Joe Girardi. You've been here and back. You've been through the media gamut. You know what it takes. You have all the experience with the players. That's bulletin board material, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what you use.
When you hear everybody in your city saying fourth at best. If that doesn't drive you as a player, you shouldn't be playing the game.
Right. This is where I feel great about Joe Girardi, as opposed to your buddy Gabe Kapler.
My buddy, oh yeah.
By the way, have you heard him over the weekend?
Over the weekend.
Oh,
do we have some?
He spoke yesterday. We'll have to hunt down some sound. I know we have some on our system of Gabe Kapler doing many Gabe Kapler-esque things in San Francisco.
We played some last week, and Al really enjoyed him saying they're going to exhaust their opponents after they lost 2-3.
Yeah, they're
going to
get tired of beating us. That's his whole theory.
Oh, we have some. You have something right there, Kyle? Let's hear a little Gabe Kapler. Let's get us in good spirits.
Yeah, I'm not bored enough.
We know that we may not win 2 out of 3 in a 3-game series, but we know that we're going to exhaust our opponents. And we're going to do that by making good swing decisions, by dominating the strike zone offensively, and as pitchers, we're going to fill it up with strikes. And then we're going to take every last inch on the bases, and we're going to play with a high level of energy and enthusiasm, and those are the things that are within our control. We believe that those processes will help us win as many games as possible.
Mitch, it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Honest to God, I sit there and I listen to this. He has to have a thesaurus sitting in front of him. Can't he just come out and speak like a baseball player, a baseball guy? We're going to exhaust the opponent. No, you're exhausting your fan base. It's so hard to listen to that. But I have to say something.
What?
You can hunt for as long as you want. You will never find a picture of Joe Girardi in a banana hammock modeling. Gabe came into this town with that picture hanging over his head. He was doomed before he ever started. And it's not anything against Gabe. He was a male model. That's great. But it's not something that plays in this city.
But he did, he gave himself, he never was able to gain respect because he never said anything to make everybody forget
It was all just eyewash, and he's right. It's exhausting.
By the way, he's had a little facial work done there, Al. His cheeks are pulled a little tight. How you feel about that?
Way entirely too much.
Is that weirdness for me in this segment?
I can't even. If you put Dr. Phil in a bull ring, that's Gabe Kapler in a locker room.
Wait.
Just try to talk the bull into sitting down.
Let's go to Jim in the Northeast. Is on WIP. Jim, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, two things I want to run by is real quick. Number one is what we have here with this Astro scandal. It happens in all facets of life all the time, where it's so often the cover-up becomes worse than the deed that was done. Mm-hmm. You know, listen to all this BS from Manfred and Jim Crane, and it's ridiculous. It's repulsive. My second thing is, I know this might sound silly, it seems like not much is going to be done to the Astros, but what I'd like to see is a nationwide movement, like led by talk shows like you guys and across the country, to encourage people to not watch the Astros on national TV. And maybe after a few times where they see how poor their ratings are, that they start, I guess they have flexibilities in their contracts to start pulling Astros games from national TV, because it doesn't seem like much else can be done to spank these cheaters.
Let's go to Al on this one. Al's our TV man here. Would that make a lick of a difference, Al?
No, they're not.
It won't happen.
It's not like the NFL on national TV.
They don't have national TV packages. Look, they have local TV packages.
The national TV package is the Red Sox Yankees.
Yeah.
That's their
national.
Exactly. It's not going to matter. What I think if I were baseball, I would not discourage member teams from allowing their fans to bring in trash can things and have things on the scoreboard.
Al has
a whole
thing that he wants to roll out.
I do not think, because you know they're going to try to quash that. Try to tell the mascots they should be allowed to do it.
I mean, you really think they're going to quash it? They were running Bull Durham on MLB Network while Manfred was having his news conference.
it doesn't make sense to have a national, like a TV thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, they don't have, like Mitch said, it's just not like the NFL. They survive on their local package, and it'll be higher than ever.
Yeah, they made their money. You're not going to get that money back from the Astros from that World Series. The fact that there was no punishment to the players, who are making ungodly salaries now, and more power to them. If someone's dumb enough to give it to you, be smart enough to take it. That's what my father always told me. You're only worth what you'll bring. So these players, I have no problem with them, the contracts, anything. My issue, if you got a cheat to do it, you have now tarnished the game of baseball way worse than Pete Rose ever did.
Right.
Yeah.
Pete Rose never cheated anybody in the game of baseball. He gave everything, and yet he's not in the Hall of Fame. Here's the hypocrisy I'm talking about. Pete Rose's uniform, gear, glove, bat, they're all in the Hall of Fame, but they can display it. They want to use Pete in the Hall of Fame, but he's not allowed in. Mm-hmm. But now these cheaters, are they going to be allowed in? The steroid guys haven't been. But what about these guys? They didn't even get punished.
Right. They didn't even get punished. Jim, give me someone in your sports life who you fell in love with.
Well, I would never fall in love with any of these people, but I certainly would admire plenty of them. And one person I've admired is the guy who he threw a pitch in 93 that, you know, had some negative repercussions to our city, but he's been nothing but a great sport since then and handled it, and that would be Mitchie Poo.
Mitch Williams.
Thank you, buddy.
Nice
I appreciate
suggestion.
That.
Oh, let's put Mitch Williams in the running here for a nice prize. Now, Mitch, do you think, you know, you're worthy of a pair of tickets to Temple Men's Basketball, or tickets to Nickelback, or four-pack of tickets to the Philadelphia Fishing Show, or maybe even Phillies Diamondback tickets? And by the way, you get a Bryce Harper bobblehead figurine. That sounds about right.
Am I worthy of that?
Yeah.
I think this guy is worthy. I'm not. I'll be honest. I never understood after the World Series. I only did what I was taught to do as a kid. Be accountable for what you do.
Right.
And that's all I did, and I didn't hide. I honestly, and Al, being a Boston fan, I wish Buckner had come back way sooner than he did, because he made an error. And if you watch the ball took a bad hop right at the last second. That happens in a game of baseball.
Right.
And he gets crucified for it.
Right.
I made the mistake on the mound. I was trying to throw a fastball up and away and jerked it down and in. That's my mistake. I lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be accountable in your life for what you do.
And it has a lot to do with professionalism.
Well, yeah.
And being a professional and dealing with all things that come with a professional. I'm glad you brought this up, Mitch. This has been a driving point of our show tonight, this morning, because over the weekend, Joel Embiid spoke and Bryce Harper spoke. And two superstars in our town, and you'd be amazed at the difference in opinion you will have about both of them after hearing what we're going to play on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Time's 8:19.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.